I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me? My name's James Williams, I'm one of your hosts.
And I'm the other one. It's not just him, it's me as well. I'm Joe Elvin, hello.
And we're very excited today because we've actually finally managed to pin down not just a friend of ours, we like to think, but also somebody who just happens to be one of our most successful musical exports at the moment. She's a very in-demand lady, hence why we've been trying to bludgeon her into our pod cupboard for quite some time now. She's finally made time to be here. We're super excited, as you can tell. It's the multi-platinum, just generally fabulous, Paloma Faith.
Nobody's pinned me down in ages.
You know what? It's like, you are probably the hardest booking of the Is It Just Me podcast.
Oh, no.
I feel so proud of us today for getting you here. It sort of goes,
sorry.
Beyonce, like, super hard to get. Then Jesus. But above them both is Paloma Faith.
I think it's because Beyonce's got more nannies than me.
Oh, yeah, that'd be it. I don't know what Jesus' excuse is.
I'm really...
He needs to hurry up and come back. Yeah. But in your defence, Paloma, you are super, super busy. I mean, you know, so hang on, let's start off. Got to talk about the album, your fourth album, right?
Yeah.
And I always say this to people, I don't think you get enough credit for just how well you've done in terms of, you know, it's very rare, I think. You know, people often have a massive selling debut album and then they have the tricky second album which doesn't quite live up to expectations. And then they pretty much fall off the face of the earth and are never seen of again. You have pretty much had four crackingly successful albums back to back. And I just think you should be championed more for that.
Thank you.
and you've had time to accessorise beautifully this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Despite also being a new mother.
You could have made a bit more of an effort.
I just think the listeners need to be fully informed. She's fully multitasking at the moment by also having a nice big English breakfast at the same time.
Well done. Mouthful of bacon and still accessorised.
Yeah.
Accessorising with bacon is the best kind of accessorising.
I accessorise with bacon as much as I possibly can.
People don't do it enough.
So
what is your secret and problem? How have you managed to do this? Because, you know, you're being modest, but, you know, you're on the verge of making a record, aren't you? If this current album goes double platinum, you'll be the first British female solo artist to do that. Is that right?
Ever. I couldn't believe it when they said that, because I was like, what about Sade and Annie Lennox? But it's because it's consecutive.
Yeah.
Yes, because we're talking about it's the fourth one. That's the record, isn't it?
If this one goes double platinum, it'll be a record. Because I think music's changed so much in that, like, people kind of get dismissed if they have one failed album. So when people like Annie Lennox and Sade first came out, that people didn't mind if you didn't do well for an album. You just moved on to the next one because everyone loved you anyway and you just do it again. But nowadays it's a bit different. It's a bit like if you don't keep selling all the time, then no one's interested.
It's a bit brutal, isn't it?
It's really awful.
What do you mean by that? If you say, well, people used to not mind and now people mind, how...
Well, you look at David Bowie's career.
But how does the minding manifest itself? How does that feel as an artist?
It's just like so much less forgiving, and I think creativity is almost overlooked in a way. Like, I think, you know, from my perspective, I think to be a creative person, that is in equal measure means that you have to make as many mistakes as you do hit the jackpot. You look at the career of someone like Nick Cave, who I'm a big fan of, and you know, like, there's usually one or two songs on every album that's amazing, and the rest you're just like, oh well, you know, that's not everyone is, but it's a process. And the word record by default means record, as in a moment of time, a period of time, and it's not like every single song needs to go for the jugular, but we live in an age now where it feels like it does. And unless it's kind of like an earworm, it's very difficult to break through. And then occasionally you get these albums that are celebrated, like, you know, Amy's and Frank Ocean and Solange, that are, maybe don't have as many obvious hits on it, but they're revered because there's a whole piece of work. They're incredible, but that's rare.
Yeah, it must be so hard as well as an artist to write and feel that pressure and think, no, I can't put that on because it's not going to be a top five banger. I can't. And so that must be awful. That must really stifle anything that you do write.
You've sort of, you have to write in two different ways though, because your label's like, we need singles. And then you're like, but I really wanted to express this idea that wouldn't sound right if I was going afterwards, because it's quite serious.
So how do you?
That Michael Jackson's got a lot to answer for. At the end, changed it for everybody.
So how do you find the balance then? Because I mean, do you feel pressure to produce new material after a certain amount of time, or do you feel you can now at least take a step back and produce music when you want to?
Well, this time I definitely took longer than I've ever taken before, and I'm prouder of the result because of it.
We're talking with The Architect, by the way. If you haven't got the new album, it is a great album.
Thanks.
And I think, and like I said, to be honest, we've got out the habit, I think, even as consumers, of listening to albums.
That's really true.
Yeah.
I know. I'm afraid that is true.
I'm a big fan of Spotify, and I love creating playlists, but it does mean you lose the art of listening to an album
and
from beginning to end.
But even I do buy an album on my iPhone, why does my iPhone rejig the songs for me? Why does it... Do you know what I mean? What is that?
Because mine,
what have I done to make
I spend so much time
getting
deliberating the order and, like, what's going to go in between and where it needs a little break and all that stuff, and even to the point where I micromanage the amount of time in between each song.
Wow.
So I'll be like in the studio going, and now the next song plays, because I like write it as a whole thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they make them jump from song to song too quickly. You haven't recovered from the emotion of the song before. It's all very pedantic.
So basically, people hitting shuffle on your album is like people walking into a wedding and just knocking over the seating plan, right?
I don't mind too much. It's like, it's more for me than it is for, like, worrying about the way people listen to it. I'm just glad if they listen.
And would you go as far as to say, I mean, I guess it's like choosing a favourite child, but would you say at the moment this is your favourite album so far?
Well, yeah, because it feels the most relevant, because I'm the closest to those feelings. Mm. Sometimes, like, I sing my old songs and I do it live and I'm just like, God, that guy was such an idiot. Why did you even write a song about him?
needed to get it out at the time.
Can't believe you were with that guy and you wrote these words.
But that must be amazing to have that much of a tangible sort of historical record of what you've been through. We don't all do that. I don't even keep a diary, you know.
Kind of like a diary, isn't it?
It is like a diary,
yeah. But there's also a really nice message behind this album, isn't there? You felt that the world is decidedly lacking in kindness. Do you want to talk a bit more about that whole idea?
So I was thinking, because I was pregnant when I wrote it, that what would be really wonderful was that one day my child's going to listen to this album and say, what did you write when I was inside your tummy or whatever? And I just thought, you know, what messages do I want? Because God forbid I wasn't there. It's like, this is what your mum wanted you to hear. So I wanted to write an album that was like full of qualities, an education in qualities that I would like my child or the next generation to have, which I feel like are a bit on the demise, like compassion, empathy, kindness. They're not very cool, but I think they are. So,
of course they are.
So yeah, so that was kind of like the kind of core grounding for the record, but I did it with like having listened to Marvin Gaye's "What's Going On" a million trillion times, and just really valuing the way that he took that terrible time in history at the Vietnam War and turned it into a kind of reason to ask why, and in a really kind way. So it's definitely not like punky, this record. It's not like I'm angry about this stuff, so screw you. It's more like this is really sad, like, and I kind of compel you to think about your actions, almost like, or our responsibility as a generation for future generations. So I deal with lots of world issues on it, but not in a really kind of direct way. It's more a sort of general feeling, but every song had the trigger was something quite specific.
And what's the reaction been like from, because, you know, I'd imagine social media is where people get really, you know, they have access
yeah.
to you. Do you control all your socials?
I not Facebook, because I'm just not interested in it. But I really like the visual, and I do go on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah. That's, but Instagram is your...
Instagram's my thing.
Yeah.
So,
and Instagram is a happier place, we find.
I feel like people are more positive on there.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, and sometimes when they're not, like, everyone gangs up on them anyway.
That's true, actually. Yeah, I saw that. Someone really picked on my feet one day, and I didn't have to say a word.
Yeah,
everybody
just
else
let
piled
it happen.
In. Yeah.
And then obviously you're playing loads of dates across the summer and the rest of the year. Do you want to talk a bit about the festival?
Well, and I saw Paloma live a couple of weeks ago at the M&S.
Oh, yeah.
Fandango. And that was a lovely taster. I think that's really exciting. Can't wait to see you again.
Oh, yeah. Great. I'd love you to come see the full band.
Yeah.
So we're out all summer and we are, you know, loads of festivals. And then we're going on tour with Sam Smith in November in Australia and New Zealand.
I mean, that's a pretty good bang for your buck, isn't it?
So
you
nice.
And Sam Smith
He's
together.
He's such a lovely person.
Could you get me some Tim Tams?
Yeah, oh my God.
Do you know Tim Tams?
I do.
Oh my, I know you can get them
they
here, but it's not the same.
But they're not.
They cost about £6
here. Do you know what as well? They don't taste as good when you bring them back either.
It's
they
a magical,
taste great
magical
out there.
Yeah, dunked into a coffee. Well, yeah. Have you ever had a Tim Tam explosion?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh,
you have
it's
to do
amazing.
That.
You bite one end off.
Oh, yeah, and then diagonally
stick that
suck
in
it
and
through.
Then suck it through.
I didn't know that's
end.
What it was called.
Yeah, like a straw.
Well, you know, yeah. Stick with me. I will acclimatise you to the local customs, particularly around Tim Tams.
But also it's because I say that Cadbury's doesn't taste the same thing in Australia because they have to put something in it to make it not melt. So it has a different taste to Cadbury's chocolate over here.
I think it tastes better there.
You're
sorry
biased.
To be that unpatriotic.
Everything's better.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've already started debating topics and we didn't even intend to, but...
really
Paloma.
Important, valuable social topic.
Exactly.
Like Cadbury's.
Frankly,
it
is. There's
I mean,
nothing more important.
We've started quite deep for us. It's only going to get lighter, I warn you. Are you ready to do this, Paloma? Are you ready to debate some Is It Just Me topics? Let's do it.
Is it just me who's killed every plant I've ever owned?
No, Paloma, it is not just you. And in fact, my husband bought these things in their own atrium. The big USP was, they'll never die. You can't do anything.
Succulents.
Well, guess what? Yeah, how do you see? I don't even know what they're called. I was just thinking the thing in the glass bowls.
Because I was looking for something I couldn't kill also.
Well, let me tell you this. Now I've got these big empty glass jars and my husband has kept the dead plants, because he's absolutely convinced that there's a way to
revive them.
No, they're dead, or find something else to go in there. And I'm like, what's the point?
I'm with you on this one because, yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I actually managed to kill a cactus recently, and I didn't.
I've done that several times.
Well, I didn't think it was possible, but apparently, this is the problem. Apparently,
do you have to water them?
Well, yeah, but barely at all. And I clearly overwatered.
Do you know what else I've found out since mine died? Is you're supposed to water not into the pot, but into the tray. Beneath the pot.
This is my problem with gardening. Everyone's got a different damn story. So some people say, I mean, honestly, just give me the facts. Give me the facts. I've tried that thing where you stick an ice cube into an orchid plant.
Oh, I'm doing
that. Hasn't worked for me.
Oh, really? I'm doing that at the moment. It is working. But, I mean, that might be a fluke.
Well,
it's only been a month.
La-dee-da. Honestly.
This is a true story. When I was young, my mum used to say, my mum's very you'll realise from this interview, she's very prominent in my life because she was a single parent and I'm her only child. So we're obsessed by each other, basically. Aww. But
I love that. That's adorable.
But she used to say to me, oh, you'll never keep anything alive. I'm not getting you a pet because you can't even keep a plant alive. So genuinely, when I was pregnant, I was really anxious because I thought if I couldn't keep a plant alive, that I would my baby would die.
Oh, no. It is much harder to keep a plant alive.
Yeah.
Much harder.
It is.
Kids are more resilient.
Yeah. I'm so surprised my baby's still alive because I'm really
Let
bad
me tell
at
you
plants.
This. I remember being a very anxious new mother and having that thing where my mother buying me the tiny vests that the newborns, and I was like, I can't look after something that small. That's ridiculous. Then I read an article of a little boy who was about 11 years old and had literally eaten nothing since he was a baby except Müller yogurts. And he was alive. So I kind of thought, well, that's fine. If only you could feed a plant Müller yogurts, I'd be fine.
Yeah, if they just take what they were given and stop being so fussy. Like, you know, I give you what I've been told and there's nothing else. Like, that's what you say to your child.
Yeah.
And then in the end, they eat the whatever it's in front of them.
But not those succulents and not these orchids. They're very particular.
They're like, oh, no. I'm going to sleep for all of eternity.
I don't know which came first. I don't know if it's because I can't keep them alive. I don't even really like plants that much. I don't like seeing a ton of plants in a house. I don't.
What do you think
I find
about
it cluttery?
A ton of fake plants that look real.
I don't have any snobbery about that now. I've actually embraced a couple of fake plants around my house just because I thought, I do like a little, not too much.
A bit of green.
Just a little bit here and there.
I do have fake grass in my garden.
Well, there you go.
That's a plant.
Do you know why, though?
It's just because, lots of them together.
Because I've had confirmation from actual professional gardeners that no, nobody can grow anything in your garden.
Really?
Because the soil's so crap.
It's acid.
Yeah.
So we've nuclear got, soil.
Basically. So we've got this astroturf.
It's like Erin Brockovich territory.
We've got this tiny patch of astroturf because the dog won't pee on anything but
That's
something that
problem.
Looks green. So
another diva in your life. So, plants, dogs.
So it's like the red carpet for the dog is the astroturf. It's like the green carpet that she will go and pee and poo on at the middle of the night.
But do you think it's our fault, though? Because I genuinely think is it an age thing? And I'm sat there wondering, do I need to start getting books out and really reading up on plants and gardening and educating myself?
I bought How Not to Kill Your Plants, which is a book that exists on the market.
Really?
But I haven't read it.
Well, there you
and
go.
I bought it 12 months ago. But I felt a bit like with gym memberships, that if I'd bought it, like as in the card was in my wallet, it did constitute an effort towards losing weight, like with the gym.
Yes, Paloma, yes.
You know, and I've got the book.
Yeah.
I've invested in the idea that I may not want to kill my plants, but I haven't actively read it. But someday I may.
I'm just going to not have any plants. And then they're happy, I'm happy. I'm not stressed looking at these big, brown, dirty weeds in my house.
I know, but I've currently got a bit of a blank canvas in my courtyard. I'm sort of sat there going, oh, I wish I could just get Charlie Dimmock round on speed dial and just come and sort me out.
Get a mural. Get a team of, like, young kids from a project. You live in South London. There'll be a project somewhere that you need to employ some children. And get a nice mural going.
That's an idea. And then just plant some bamboo. Bamboo grows anywhere, right? That's what I've heard.
I don't know. Oh, probably not in my garden.
Have loads of plants, I'm going to confess, in my house because I just moved and I wanted it to look like a kind of 70s bohemian.
Yeah, because I like that vibe.
And, you know, Joe's already dismissed clutter, but I am a clutter queen. Look at my whole being.
Yeah, but I think but your clutter is very considered.
Yeah,
and
considered
it looks
clutter.
Great together, but no, mine's just clutter. And we don't need any more of it. We certainly don't need any dead things in the clutter. So, yeah.
Yeah. Life's too short to water plants, or overwater plants in my case. But
I think my mum says we overwater.
Yeah.
That's the problem. She goes, you young people.
That's the problem.
You're all overwatering.
Ourselves with alcohol and our plants as well. Probably. We're all just far too overwatered.
I think you need to do a charity single about that. Raise awareness about the perils of overwatering in the 21st century. Mind you, it probably is. Someone will say, actually, it is water wastage is a thing.
Probably is.
Someone's going to turn that flippant comment into something that I feel very ashamed of.
Well, I was going to say, it is almost time for the hosepipe ban, isn't it? This country. Yeah. It is amazing that we can get so much rain yet always have a hosepipe ban. But there you go.
Yes, Donald Trump.
Basically, if you're sat at home listening to us and wondering, what in hell are they talking about, you know, this overwatering nonsense, do drop us an email. Let us know what you think. We love hearing from you guys.
Are you killing your plants at home?
Do you have any good books that Paloma should buy about plants and then never read? Let us know. The email address isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. And if you email us, we might give you a little shout out.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is it just me that doesn't believe in the slow burn relationship? Now, I've got a friend who shall remain nameless who actually did ask me to discuss this on
when
the podcast.
People say that, it normally means it's you, doesn't it?
No, I swear to God, this
my
is not
my friend has got this itchy disease in her private part.
Oh, well.
I had to actually phone a chemist and say that about literally a friend of mine once. And I could hear them on the phone going, we'll tell your
right.
friend. And it absolutely was my friend who'd phoned me bawling her eyes out about a particular nasty thing.
Ailment.
So I had to phone the chemist. Dignity checked at the door.
Well, for the record.
Anyway.
I went to buy some Anasol for treatment of piles.
Was that for your friend?
For my friend.
Yeah.
In a supermarket once. And there was a paparazzi outside.
Of course there was.
And my manager was with me and he was like, give me that, and he just grabbed it out of my hand.
I mean, that is taking one for the team.
Kevin Costner or what?
That is literally taking Anasol for the team.
Kevin Costner wouldn't have held the Anasol for Whitney.
No, I don't think he would have.
That wasn't
It would have compromised his masculinity too much.
I like to think that he would. I like to think he would have absolutely held the Anasol.
I mean, I think this was my favourite tangent ever we've gone off.
Sorry, slow burn relationship.
That's a moral, isn't it? Find somebody who will hold the anus.
Exactly. That's the meaning of true love. I swear, this is not me, because I wish I could get to a third or fourth date. But anyway, I've got a friend at the moment. He's been on 3 or 4 dates. And on
still seeing how it goes.
Well, on paper, it should be there. This person sounds perfect, and he was really excited. And anyway, he's gone now on 3 dates, and he's not feeling the spark. And he keeps sort of saying to me, what do you think, what do you think? And I'm like, well, my gut instinct always is, I feel like I'm a bit too black and white about these things. I always feel like you should really know within the first few minutes, or at least the first date, if that person is a friend zone, or if it's someone you basically really fancy. So I'm wondering, though, am I really basic? Because I have heard these stories about people who basically have been like friends for 5 years, got drunk one night, snogged each other, and now they're married with 3 kids. So am I being too basic, basically?
I think it's really tricky. I think, taking my example, I think my husband and I knew each other about 3 or 4 months before I suddenly thought, oh, I like him. And so it wasn't like an immediate...
See, that's a slow burn, I would argue.
Yeah, but it wasn't...
Slow by your standards.
I suppose...
3 months, for Christ's sake.
But I suppose the difference is I didn't meet my husband going, right, okay, here's a date. I'm going to see if I fancy this person.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It might have killed it if we'd brought that pressure to it to begin with, but we were just
letting it go.
We were just in the same circle of friends for a little while before...
I've done all of them because... I have tried every single possible denomination of relationship there is, because I'm a serial monogamist, I confess, and also I've now just done 7 years of therapy to try not to dump the person I'm with, because my thing is like I'm just so fearful of commitment because I'm worried that they might dump me that I just tend to go after sort of about 2 years. So I've tried the lust thing, I've tried the friend let's sleep together and see what happens thing, and I've tried the on paper thing, and I just don't believe that on paper works ever.
Really?
I think that the person you really fall for usually is, it's a chemical reaction to them, and you find yourself forgiving the most heinous of crimes from this person, and you're like, I never thought in a million years that I could love someone who, you know, picked and ate their toenails. Not that mine does, but I'm just giving an example. Or that this one's relevant to me, who isn't as ambitious as me, because I thought that maybe that would be unattractive. But actually, it's worked out that it's actually brilliant for me.
Well, it means
because it's
supportive, balancing.
Yeah, he's supportive, and I get home and I get massive slap in the face of perspective that actually everything that I feel is life or death is not actually life or death, and life goes on, and somebody loves me, and it's really nice. But my point is that I don't believe in slow burn, seeing how it goes. And I feel really sad to sort of say, but I think those people who do that are sort of maybe, this is going to be a big sweeping statement, but maybe just settling.
Well, and I think there's always a risk of being so fearful of being unattached that, that you try to talk yourself into this thing that should be good.
Well, I used to be that person. I used to say to people all the time, I can love anyone.
But I bet you could, though, Paloma. That's the thing.
You can.
Well, you can in theory.
But it might not last. I could love anyone for 2 years.
Yeah.
But the person that I've decided to have children with and be with, hopefully, for the long term, is the person who I felt a chemical feeling with.
As soon as you met, basically.
As soon as I met, and also felt... But it wasn't like, this is the one. It was like, I used to say to him, even if this is it after a month, I'm so happy I know you. Oh. I'm just so happy that I know this person. Because... He just never grated on me, and just like still doesn't really.
But it sounds like you've got a very healthy attitude in the sense that you realise relationships take work, you can't take them for granted.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Joe will know, but as soon as you have a kid with someone, like any flaws in the relationship just come right to the surface, and then you're just like, I despise you for 12 months. And then suddenly after 12 months, you're like, oh, God, thank God we didn't break up.
Oh, my God.
It's past.
We had so many fights when my daughter was born just because we were simply so very tired.
Yeah.
We were just sort of like, just so tired all the time.
Yeah, it was like questioning everything for ages. But, like, my choice and is this it? But I feel like if you had any doubt, like if it was a slow burn thing where you were like, let's just see how it goes, or I quite like them, I think you've got to sort of not get confused between a codependency and genuine attraction and love. And attraction isn't just physical.
Yeah.
It's emotional.
I did do it once, because, I mean, my friends always said to me, you rule people out too quickly, you know, you make snap decisions.
Well, I think that's a danger too. So
yeah,
it's tricky.
Yeah, there's a balance. But I think I then went, I thought, right, I'm going to prove all my friends wrong. And I think, yeah, you're right, Paloma. What happened was, it was just the next person that happened, because I had this pep talk with my friends. And if I'm being honest, I think even the guy in question, it was almost like we were on the same wavelength. They said we both knew, oh, we should try and make this slow burn happen. And then after about 3 months, we kind of just went, this isn't really happening, is it? And it was like, no. And it was actually a really sweet, amicable breakup. Mm. But yeah, I did do that. So I hate to say it, I am now probably more of the, when it's the right person. And I agree with you. I think so many people get caught up in, you know, deal breakers and don't.
Oh, yeah, he
don't.
Does this and he does.
And but the second, if it's the right person, there's no such thing as a deal breaker. No.
I think that that's all very well and good and absolutely correct and true. But I think that what bothers me is that the way people meet now isn't organic.
No, I agree.
So it is
forced by default.
That's the thing. If the only way you're meeting is through Tinder or other such apps, you're not meeting organically the way.
In your case,
Grindr. God, it's too depressing. I deleted Grindr.
But James's friend has found it on Grindr.
My friend is on Grindr, tell me. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though? Yeah. So how do you meet anybody in that chance, meet cute way that gives you that chance of even having that interesting spark? Yeah. When everything is contrived to meet to see if you've got the spark.
Well,
it's like,
well, you know, my hope is in the same way vinyl records have come back around and into fashion, it's going to be all about meeting in real life again. People are going to start going to bars and talking rather than doing everything on their phones. That's what I
hope
want.
So.
That'd be much better.
I fear for our kids. I do. Yeah. I do.
It's lonely.
I know we're trying to be funny on this podcast, but there's
we're really trying very hard, people.
Like, yeah, it's like, but it's
sorry, you if know, it's not the, working.
The intimacy has just changed, and yeah. It bothers me a lot. That actually, it really does.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, let's try, people. Let's try.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you are sat there on the tube or in your car thinking, how dare they? I did a slow burn relationship and I'm very happy.
And now my marriage has been 50 years. And
please email us and tell us off.
It's been boring, but I've stuck with it.
Exactly. Ignore her. Email us and tell us off. You know the email address. isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. And I just wanted to give a little shout out, actually, because we got a really lovely...
Maybe some people just want boring, though.
Well,
and what's wrong with that?
I definitely don't.
Boring is the new interesting subversive. How's that?
Everything just inverts.
Well, I'll tell you
cool.
Who does not find us boring. It's lovely Isabel, who did email us
Hi,
this
Isabel.
Week.
Isabel. You're our favourite one.
We love you, Isabel. Isabel said, thank God for Is It Just Me? I always listen when I've got a bad hangover. Your relatable
and
topics...
that's a lot, right?
Yes, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
We don't do it hangover, I promise. Your relatable topics help my beer fear fade along with last night's dignity. Thank you, Izzy. Yes, well, we all know that terrible beer.
I'm not sure if
worry.
I should be proud of that, but I am. I'm proud to be there with you, Isabel.
Life is full of struggles, and if we're helping one person get through it, we're very happy, Jo.
Yes. Enjoy. I'd say I like a bacon and Diet Coke in those situations.
Actually, Izzy, if you're hungover, you would really like the look of Paloma's hash browns this morning. So,
yeah.
And that's not a euphemism. I swear she was actually eating hash browns.
Right. I've got one. You ready?
Yeah, poised.
Is it just me? It's not my friend. Is it just me, Paloma Faith James Williams, who gives myself pep talks all the time? I think it's essential. Sometimes I don't think I can get out of bed without at least saying, oh, come on, you've got that nice new top to wear. At least you can put that on if you get up today.
That's what I did this morning.
And it's very nice. I want to know where that green top is from.
I've got a really terrible addiction to the Zara app.
Oh, I didn't know about the Zara app.
Is it dangerous?
How could I, a shopaholic, not know about
really
the Zara
evil.
App? Yeah.
Just everything ripped off the catwalk for lower prices.
Well,
just give yourself pep
allegedly
talks.
Ripped off your catwalk.
Yeah.
Just put that in for our lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Just to give yourself pep talks to not shop at Zara at the moment then, Paloma, or you...
No, I let myself free.
But that
flow.
Looks like authentically vintage, that shirt.
I know.
I love
and it's
it.
The whole outfit. 1, 2, 3.
We'll get a picture and we'll upload it so you can see what Paloma's wearing.
I really won't get paid any endorsement from them because they're making too much money off me.
Yeah.
But Paloma, you were saying your mum is the queen of pep talks.
My mum offers advice to me constantly, and she's kind
is it welcome?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. But she just doesn't wait to be prompted, so she's like quite funny. I'd like to print a book one day of her quotes.
What's your mum's name? Let's think of a title.
Pam.
Oh,
Pam's pep talks.
Oh, sort of in the bag.
Yeah. Pep up with Pam.
Yeah.
Pep up so with Pam. She's pretty amazing. And this week I had a bit of a disaster. I went to the hairdressers that I've been going to for 10 years and who's been responsible for my wonderful different colours that everyone knows I change regularly. And for some reason, even though I've done weeks of testing, strand tests and balayage and God knows what, the whole thing just fizzed up and sort of burnt off.
Oh no.
So that's why I've got this elaborate turban on at the moment.
And did Lindell say, oh babe, sorry about that, mate?
It wasn't Lindell.
I was just thinking, because Lindell used to do my hair and I usually
it wasn't Lindell. But We don't know. It's a mystery why. But my mum sent me some good stuff. I wouldn't go on about your hair in interviews either, or on
even
stage.
You've just done it. So you've just flouted that.
Personally, petrol. I think you've been over-colouring for years and over-styling. So suddenly it's just had enough. I feel sad for you, but you are really amazing at coping.
Oh.
People are already asking about your hair on Instagram. Sometimes best to keep private. Too much stuff in the public eye. Even with your photos of your boyfriend. Look at Professor Green. He put all that stuff up with his girlfriend and now they've split up.
Oh, my God. I want to read Pam's book.
And then at the end, love you. Only want to protect you.
I mean, what I like is there's love, there's light and there is shade in that.
I love the shade.
Quite frankly, you've been
overstyled. Pam's giving shade could be chapter 2 of the book.
We all need Pam in our life.
Pam's hard truths.
So
she's got a column in her for definite.
She's fantastic because when I give myself these internal pep talks, normally it's in her voice. She's very... people sort of say quite often to me, like, how have you remained like this, grounded and all that in your job and stuff? And I'm just like, because my mother gives it to me hard. Yeah. All the time.
You might want to rephrase that.
She will just, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel disturbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mum will just literally be like, you sounded ridiculous in that interview.
She'll just tell you.
You got carried away. You do that. You've always done it.
And that's why you're such a superstar, though.
I'll just be like,
you say, Mum, no. I'm an almost 4x double platinum selling artist. Thank you very much. Do you ever say,
No.
She would never. She'd have no truck with that.
My mum's idea of success is so different to, you know, she wouldn't. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like she, my mum's idea of the best success ever was, this guy wrote on my Facebook about how nice I was to him in somewhere. He was like, oh, you were really kind and you helped me with this, this, and this, and my mum screenshotted it, sent it to me and went, that's success.
That's so lovely.
But I guess, you know, it is. You're a testament to her.
Probably sometimes I've been awful to somebody and they've written it up and she's not screenshotted it.
I bet she would, though. I bet she would.
Yeah.
But pep talk is important. Like you say, it's motivational. It's the way you get out of bed.
And I think it's, what's your pep talks to yourself? Mine, generally, I tend to need a pep talk when I'm very, very stressed. Mm. About whether I just feel overwhelmed with how much I've got to do or I'm worried about things. And it's that time when I have to really go, now, hang on a minute. Come on, Elvin.
Let's get real.
You've had things like this before. What's the worst thing that's ever happened and how did you get through it? I just kind of like talk to myself that way.
Do you know, time is just the best, isn't it? That's the best pep talk, really, in my opinion, is like, time always just heals over everything.
And the other
and it
thing,
passes.
Yeah,
it's transient.
It was actually this podcast that gave me the gift of a little pep talk from Eddie Izzard many moons ago now, where he said something about borrowing confidence from your future self. Mm. And that really stuck with me. That really thought, yes, I will have perspective on this current stress in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months.
Yeah.
And that really helps.
It's so true, but it's also so funny. Why is it when we give ourselves pep talks, we refer to ourselves with just our surname? Because I do the same thing. I'm like, Williams, for Christ's sake, you can do this. Is it because...
Did you go to private school?
No.
No, I didn't.
I think it's because if we actually spoke to ourselves with our first name, we would just be like wankers. Whereas somehow if you sort of distance yourself with just your middle name, your second name.
It just feels a bit more drill sergeant.
It does, doesn't it?
It's got a bit more get up and go.
That's it.
You know? I don't do...
Don't you think,
don't
Faith?
You? You don't go, come on, Faith, you can do
although,
this.
Mind you, I know that's not your surname, but...
that's my middle name. Yeah. But I do... Yeah, I don't... Do the surname.
Do you do more of a soft sort of pep talk? Whereas Joe
no,
and I
No, I just go straight to the point. Like, in you know, people get offended if you write an email without addressing the person first. I write myself inner emails without addressing myself. It's just like, get your shit together. Straight to the point. Not like, I don't have to address myself.
No. we do.
I think it's only polite.
We've already mentioned Jesus, but do you think Jesus says Jesus? First.
I mean, it's a pretty cool name.
That
I'd
is
use
the
it.
Deepest question I've ever been asked.
What would Jesus do?
Yeah. What would he do? I think he would maybe. I don't know.
I really don't think I'm equipped to answer that one without being struck by lightning.
I'd rather think about what would
Paloma Muhammad.
Do.
Yeah, true.
Does Muhammad say, you know, or Siddhartha Gautama, any of them?
Exactly. Again, I don't feel any more equipped.
Does he go, Gautama?
I think they'd say, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine.
That's the Buddhist.
But yeah, what I would say is I bet all those people have given themselves pep talks at some point or the other. No one is above a pep talk to themselves, I think. Everyone has moments of doubt and, you know.
I feel like I'm permanently giving other people pep talks.
Yeah, that's the thing. I tend to lean on other people for the pep talks more. I think other people are better at it than I am.
I was going to say, I'm not surprised. With so Pam in your life, you were your basic.
Yeah. Sometimes I just do ask Pam.
Can I have Pam's number?
Yeah, we all need Pam on speed dial, basically.
She'll tell you the truth.
I'm not sure if I want to
know
it, but I do.
The first time she ever met the head of Sony, the whole of the company, she shook his hand and said, so you're responsible for ruining my child's life.
Oh my god.
And he was like, I'm not sure how to take that. I said, just let it pass. Very Buddhist approach to everything.
Wow.
It'll be gone.
Okay, maybe if I have Pam's number, but if she could be nice to me.
Yeah.
Oh, she would. She's always lovely to women. Yeah. It was just the high-powered white straight man that she's got a little bit of a chip on her shoulder about.
Needs knocking down a peg or two.
Yeah. I like the cut of Pam's jib, I've got to say.
I do. I mean, we're in love with Paloma. We're now severely in love with Pam too. So, Paloma, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with everything. Like, we've got to break this record. If you haven't bought The Architect,
please do, even just for charity's sake.
How bad can it be?
She's got to sort her hair out.
You don't have to listen to it.
Yes, you do. It's amazing.
It's a great album. And good luck with all the tour dates.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.